Hey, welcome to the Harry Man Show number 18, where it doesn't get any more sick than hanging out from Zach from Sick Monic. Today, I actually have a really well-known Phoenix area drummer. Great guy. He's in a couple of bands, Sick Monic and 3 Seconds More. This guy's got chops. He knows his stuff. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing good, Dustin.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. How you doing this fine morning?
I'm glad to be here. I'm doing good. Glad to be alive.
Yeah, I agree. So first things first, your main band is Sick Monic. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Sick Monic. They're from Phoenix, as you said. We've been together about 13 years. Well, I know I've been drumming for about 13 years. They've been together a little bit longer than that.
Oh, nice. And
we got lots of...
How long have they been a band?
Probably like 16 years. Oh, 15, nice. 16. Nice. Yeah.
And then how did you go about getting into that band? With just, you know, you lost a drummer and you just kind of jumped in, or how did that go?
Well, I used to play with them before they were Sick Monic with different, couple different members.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on my own way. They went and started Sick Monic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other drummer, he got tired of playing, I guess, and he quit.
Oh, wow.
So I was going to come over and just play for maybe a couple shows, but as soon as I started playing with them again, you know, they're like, I always considered them like the best musicians, you know, or among the best musicians, you know, anywhere. And so making music with them was something that I basically always wanted all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So once we started up again, I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I have to say, yeah. Your guitar player Ray is phenomenal at best.
He is, and that's, you know, he plays piano and he plays violin as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's he teaches music, so everything he does, you know, it's like extra special.
Yeah.
And that's, what more can you ask for, you know, when you get to work with guys like that? That's really what you've been searching for all your life. As far as a musician, as far as what I have been trying for, you know, is to make the best music that I can, or, you know, or be part of the best music that you can make. And having guys like that is definitely the way to go, if you can.
Yeah. And you're also in a band called 3 Seconds More as well, right?
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been with them about 7 or 8 years.
Oh, nice. That's a good period of time.
It is. And, you know, another group of guys who are, that's only a 3-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally a completely different animal, so to say, than Sick Monic. And that's, I like that. You know, it's a different drumming, different style.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal songwriters. Ryan Ritter is the writer. He's an incredible musician. Nice. You know, and those guys, they've all those guys that we just talked about, or all the people in those bands, have really been a big part of how I've gotten to be a better drummer. You know, I mean, that's probably 90% of it.
Yeah. I've been in that Francisco rehearsal studio, and I just always remember hearing you guys just practice, and I was like, man, if I had more time, I'd be like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's
the way to do it.
The only way to get better for someone like myself.
All right, so let's back up a little bit. When did you start playing drums? In there, when you were a child or a little later in life?
Yeah, I was, when I was 6 is when I wanted to be a drummer, but I never got a drum set until I was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about this the other day, and I can't believe how long I've actually been a drummer. I should probably be about 4 times as good as I am. But I've been playing drums for like 31 years or something like that, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, it's been kind of a part of my life. It seems like my whole life, I really, it's something I've just always wanted to do, is play the drums. Just always wanted to be a drummer.
Yeah, and were you based out of Phoenix your whole life, or did you come here later on?
I was born here, but lived in Montana. By the way, I shout out to some of the people from Montana.
Oh, go
Shane
ahead.
Shane Hardman and Michelle Wetzel and my family, the Kookas, up there. Love you guys.
Yeah, you don't miss Montana at all?
Right now I do in the summer. For about 3 months I miss Montana.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, it's so beautiful there. I wish I could go back and forth like I got to when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not big on that cold.
Yeah.
And I came down here more, I mean, you know, like I said, I've been back and forth, but I always wanted to try to make it, so to say, in music here, because there's just less people there.
Yeah. There's a,
So that's kind of why I wanted to be more in a city situation.
Mm-hmm. And then what was your main influence getting into drums?
I've had a ton of them, but you know, it was Twisted Sister when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that "We're Not Gonna Take It." You know, the drum intro?
Uh-huh. The cowbell?
Yeah. So I heard that, and that was it. I wanted to be a drummer.
That's awesome. Simple as that.
Yeah, just simple as that. And I've always been even when I was a kid, I just not just wanted to be a drummer, but I wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
That was something.
It was part of a unit and all that good stuff.
What's that?
Part of a unit, just a group, kind of a group set.
Yeah, just that whole idea.
Now, diving into Sick Monic, you guys are still active, but what were you guys doing before this whole shutdown? Were you guys touring? Were you playing live? What was the main focus with you guys?
Yeah, we were playing live, and we're getting ready to put out a new album.
Oh, really?
And so we haven't. Basically an album ready to go, but don't really want to put it out until we can play live as well.
Oh yeah, you got to present it.
So we've been releasing little videos and things like that, and that's really fun. So we're not totally stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
During this time or whatever, but yeah, we have an album ready to go. We just want to be able to back it up with a live show and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed you've been playing your PV drum set. You've had that for quite a while. Have you grown to like that set, or is that just the set for you?
I've had that for 26 years.
Yeah, it's a good sounding kit.
Oh, thank you. Now it's just part of my drumming. I mean, I can play on other sets, but I'm going to play that set until I'm done playing.
Oh, that's
pretty
good.
Much what I've done.
Yeah,
unless I hit the lottery or something like that and can maybe get another one just like it and then retire this one to the, you know, but it's, to be honest with you, it's been an amazing drum set for me. Mm-hmm. It comes across live well, and it cuts through with really loud bands, which is a lot of the bands I tend to have played for loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then it records well too.
Yeah. And those are maple shells as well, right?
They are. Yeah. Really thin.
Yeah. And those PV drums got really big there, and they just stopped making them. You know, I think it was like early 2000s.
I got mine in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And, they didn't make them very long, and I've only seen a handful of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, I mean, I think they're beautiful, but a lot of people, they don't like the way they look. And I think some people have suggested that maybe that's why they didn't take off, is because they look too weird.
Yeah, a little obscure, but they're pretty cool looking still, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think so too. I named mine. Everybody who knows me know I've named my drum set the Manifester.
Oh, really?
So I really have a, I really love it.
Nice. Yeah, you definitely have a bond going with that. So as far as drummers, who are you watching now? Who like kind of gets you in, you know, place to kind of want to get better?
Yeah. Well, during my, you ever heard of Bobby Sanabria?
Yeah, the Latin drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been checking him out a lot. He's like a historian too. It's interesting when he plays a beat. He also has the history of it and how it became from multiple drummers playing it to somebody breaking it down onto a drum set to where one guy is now playing four people's parts.
Nice.
I really like that. That's he's really interesting to me. The late, great Brett Frederickson, he's famous here in town.
Yeah, I know.
Being a drunk.
Yeah, I remember Brett.
He's huge influence on me. Oh, nice. He taught me how to read music. I'm not incredibly great at it yet, but I would be if I kept practicing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still working on getting better at reading music all the time, but he definitely taught me the value of that and showed me how it really added to my playing and took me definitely to a higher level. Being able to read gives you the ability to get to some of those beats that are almost impossible to try to figure out.
Yes.
In your head.
Yeah. Listen to ear. I mean, you realize what you're missing when you're just trying to do it by ear.
Yeah. It just gets too complicated, at least for me. And I think most guys, to try to play some of the four way independent beats, just by ear is pretty tall task.
Yeah. Syncopation stuff.
Yeah. But he's a huge influence on me. And there's a guy, Kevin Talley, he's a metal drummer, you know, he's famous in certain circles. A lot of mainstream doesn't know who he is, but the way what he does is he's played for, I mean, I don't know how many bands he's played for, but a lot of famous ones. And the way he's influenced me is, the idea of playing music for a lot of different bands.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea is really, you know, at the end of the day, to sit back and to say, gosh, I got to play on that album. I got to play on that one and that one. And you get to show your friends,
mm-hmm.
say, hey, check this band out. I played for these guys. That was something I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And Kevin Talley, you know, that's what he does. And I had the pleasure of meeting him, and he really gave me a lot of pointers on how to go about doing that and trying to get on as many albums as you can.
Yeah.
While you can. And
yeah, he's got to have more of a bigger catalog to look back at.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you a better drummer. And when you, and you know, really the guys that probably influenced me the most is the, it sounds funny, but it's really probably guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
Over the, all the years, it seems to be, I've learned a lot and been influenced by what, you know, by the different guitar players that I've worked with, the bass players.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed about your playing, it's very precise. So I noticed you got to be playing with a click because you're always like dead on, especially with your double bass. Is that something you do live as well?
Oh, thank you. Yes, it is. Yep.
And I've noticed.
Yep, I love playing with a metronome.
Yeah, I can tell when a drummer is and or isn't. But yeah, I mean, even with your fills, you do very melodic stuff that matches with a Ray on guitar that I've watched, and it's really good. I mean, your double bass chops are always persistent. You know, it's a pleasure to watch you do that stuff.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, the metronome was a big changer in my drum playing. I used to think that only really good drummers could do it. I tried it once and I failed miserably,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't ever want to touch it again because I was afraid of failing. and once I started I really wanted to do recording for different bands, like I was just talking about, and realized you've got to use a metronome or nobody will want to work with you in a recording studio pretty much.
Yeah. And now when you use a metronome, do you use straight eighths or do you use sixteenths? Is there a certain, or you just keep it?
You know, it depends on the song. And most of the time I just use the quarter notes.
Yes.
But when I first started, I had to double that up so I could keep time with it. And as like I would figure a song out, I would customize it to, I mean, I never like putting all the accents in there. It's always just a straight sound.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, the accents, I don't like that. I mean, I'm sure that's helpful in situations, but it kind of throws me off.
Yeah.
So whatever song, it's very individual for that song, what metronome pulse I will use for that song.
Mm-hmm. And does this tie into your practice routine? Are you practicing with the click, or do you have routines you go through every day?
I do, yeah. I use the metronome as a tool. It's, like I said, at first it seemed so hard I couldn't hardly get it. But once I realized it's a pulse, it's like a heartbeat pulsing. And I just treat it like another instrument. It's a steady, you know, a steady sound that you play off of. But as time went on, it makes it so much easier to drum with a band or without a band, because it shows you exactly where you are in time. Mm-hmm. And so you see how much space you have for your next beat.
Yeah.
And you don't worry about how the song, you know, if you're in time, you don't need to worry about any of that. Or if you're I'll just say this. Sometimes when you play live, you get very excited. Every drummer knows this, especially in metal and rock.
Oh, yeah.
And you tend to play way faster.
Yeah.
And it just kills the song, kills the feeling, and you're all over the place.
Yeah. You're going a million miles
a minute. Or if you go to, pardon me?
You go a million miles a minute when you're excited.
Yes, and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. And or the opposite, you know, or you drag a song way too much and it's not supposed to be dragged. Mm-hmm. Well, the metronome just puts it right out there. Here's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you just play to that. And I've heard them try to knock the metronome by saying, oh, it makes you like a too machine-like. But that's not true. It's how you play. You can make it sound kind of machine-like if you really try very, very hard, but it keeps you, it actually, you're playing in time, and that's what's messed up is most guys have played their whole career without a metronome, and they don't know what it's like to actually play to a steady pulse. That's no insult. That's me, my personal self, the same way. I couldn't even do a drum fill. That's why I quit playing the metronome, because I was scared of it, because it made me think I wasn't that good. But as soon as I practice with it a little bit, you get a couple beats down, it starts paying off, and your band starts clicking as one unit. Everybody knows, because everybody's on that pulse. If you're on that pulse, they're on that pulse.
And do they run a click in their ears as well, or just you?
No, when I first, you know, a big part of it is they were willing to work with me. When I first said, okay, now let's do this to a metronome. Let's make everything a metronome. The Sigmonic guys, you know, back a long time ago, were like, okay, let's, because their other drummer did not use a metronome. So when I came in there, I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. But it happened one song at a time. It's not like, oh, I played one to a metronome. Now, automatically, every other song I ever play is going to work to a metronome. You have to work, practice with everything lining up, because things are going to sound different. A lot of guitar players, a lot of bands will say, well, we don't like playing to that metronome because our riff sounds different now, because they didn't write it to a metronome, which can happen too. Yeah. But anyway, my point is, some bands, if they're willing to work with the guy, the band will get better if they work with the drummer and let him use a metronome. And
yeah, it definitely shows in your playing, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, you're on it. I mean, everything's dead on, locked in. And you know, like I said, I don't say that lightly. It sounds really good.
Thank you.
And a little bit off subject, I noticed you're into martial arts. Did that impact your drumming at all as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. I love I love the martial arts, no doubt about it. They're, I think everybody should learn a little bit about them, you know, should practice a little bit. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me the other day if I wanted my kids to be fighters, and I said, no way. You know, I don't want them to live that life, and no, nothing against fighters, but that's a tough way to go.
Yeah.
What
type of martial arts are you doing?
Well, I don't actually go and train anymore, but I still have a punching bag.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I still roll around with my little kids and things. But jiu-jitsu and wrestling were my sports that I really loved.
Yeah, you don't take the head trauma as much with that?
Exactly. That's, you know, and boxing, you know, everybody would love to learn some boxing, but yeah, you're going to get beat up. There's no way around that.
You might forget your alphabet there too a little bit, but,
yeah. Yeah. So my punching bag don't punch back.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't get as good of a workout on him, but.
Yeah. The reason why I brought that up is a lot of good drummers I see are usually in martial arts, and it kind of helps their discipline, the breathing, et cetera.
Well, I really approach the drums kind of like they're a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works perfectly together. I think to be honest with you, you know, you brought the metronome up, the metronome and the martial arts, and really the drums, I do drum exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And every little workout thing you do helps on the drums.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes it way funner, especially if you're, I don't think it matters what style you're playing. It just gives you more energy. If you have more energy, the drums are more fun.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so just like an athlete, they, you know, they do wind sprints, they do drills, they do things like working their muscles all the time, working their mind. While doing that, and it's no different on the drums.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to have routine and discipline, and you know, that's one thing I want to kind of venture into a little bit. I did when I was younger, but I've been kind of looking at jiu-jitsu lately.
It's an amazing, amazing art.
Yeah, and not to I didn't mean to throw that off subject for you, but another subject I want to bring up is what were your favorite venues when things were normal in Phoenix?
Oh man. Well, I always have a fondness for Joe's Grotto.
Oh yeah.
I know they closed up a little bit before this whole thing happened. He's done now, but that was kind of like where I got a start down here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Is at Joe's Grotto. So I really loved that place and the Marquee Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole crew. Those Club Red,
yeah.
Right now, Club Red is somebody who's still doing it and trying. And
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid, like when we lived in Montana, you couldn't ever even get a place to play.
Yeah,
it was, you know, and so really, I still feel like anywhere where there's people that want to hear the music and they get into it. I mean, that's my favorite place to play. And that's happened at, you know, little tiny places. And I respect all those people who let you play heavy metal at their bar.
Yeah. And then, is there any Phoenix local bands you want to give a shout out to that are coming up that you think are going to do well here?
Well, okay. Let's see. There's, if you ever heard of the band Vex, you know, they're not really up and coming. They've been around for a while.
Yeah,
very, very interesting band.
Kenny's in it, or
Keith Heaney.
That's it. Yeah, I know the name. Yeah.
He's a great drummer. Mm-hmm. I love Keith Heaney. Yeah, I call him the scientist.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah, Vex, that's his band.
Nice. I've seen him before. I think we actually played shows with him in different bands, but yeah, I'm familiar with those guys.
Sectus.
Oh yeah, I know those guys as well.
great guys, great bands, great musicians who have, you know, really went out to try to master their craft. And that's what I think is cool. There's a ton of great bands.
Yeah. I'm sorry to just throw that on you. But yeah. Just, you know,
those guys are great though.
I just try to show appreciation where I can for other guys.
Pardon me?
I just try to give guys appreciation where I can, especially locally.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's funny. I can think of like 30 bands right now that are all really... Empire of Desire. That's one that I've really seen working it throughout the years and been around for a long time. And it's cool to see bands that, you know... that go from, you know, you mentioned the Marquee Theater, and if you're in Arizona and you get to play the Marquee Theater, mm-hmm. especially if you get to open for like a big national act, it's a real treat.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's like you're playing a real concert, and it's the real dream, you know.
Yeah, that drum rise will throw you off too, and you feel like you're 20 feet in the air.
Oh yeah, no, it's like wow, you know, you're really playing a real concert, and that's. It's after you've played a lot of the shows where, you know, there is no drum riser. Sometimes there's no stage at all, you know, over the years that you played. And when you get to a place like that, it really feels good and makes it worth it, worth all the work.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know this is a broad question as well, but when do you guys see yourself going back out again? A lot of people are suggesting spring of next year.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know if that decision is really, as far as practicing goes, I try to keep my chops up to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And I, me and the, some of the Sigmonic guys, we get down there and keep the rust from getting too built up.
Yeah.
So whenever they say, you know, it's okay to have shows, but I don't know about all this. I don't know. This world is really crazy right now. So I just don't even know.
Yeah, I didn't mean to ask you that. I just meant going forward. It just sounds like you guys are ready to go. But where's the best places to find your band? Best place to check out Sigmonic and 3 Seconds More?
All right. 3 Seconds More for sure. Reverb Nation.
Yeah, I'll share a link there for you.
Okay, excellent. Sigmonic, I know we have music on a lot of different forums, I guess they're called, where for sale and all that stuff, iTunes. But Facebook, we have, you know, a couple Facebook sites that have our music on there. YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as this... You know, we do have an album ready to release, but nice. Like I said, we wanted to wait till it's ready to play shows and things. So whenever they do let us back out, we're looking forward to that. So I do hope y'all look for the next Sigmonic stuff. But yeah. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, there's a song called Evidence of God I can't stop listening to for the last couple of days. I really enjoy that one.
Hey, right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I can hear a little bit of Mastodon in you guys. Don't take that in a bad way, but yeah, I hear some really good stuff kind of mixed in there.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, Zach, thanks for coming on, telling us a little bit about yourself, and, you know, we look forward to what's coming from you guys and all that good stuff. Once again, you can reach out to Sigmonic and 3 Seconds More via Facebook, YouTube, and Reverb, we said. Thanks a lot,
yes,
Zach.
Sir.
I just want to say thank you one more time there.
Hey, bro. Thank you, man. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem. And if you guys enjoyed the show, please share, tell your friends about it. Have a good day.